Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for being here. And for those of you listening on WTPR, we welcome you. And anybody else that's going to be listening to these in the future, we're in Chapter 7 of, Mind, Character, and Personality? Is that what it is? Yeah, Personality. In Chapter 7, page 380. No, I'm sorry. Page 59, top of the page, paragraph 1. The first little topic, and it's extremely small, is called Too Little Thought Given to Causative Factors. And it says, far too little thought is given to the causes underlying the morality, the disease, and degeneracy that exist today in the most civilized and favored lands. The human race is deteriorating. Amen to that. Just sin alone has gotten us from the height of 16 feet tall to, on average, I would say in the U.S., on average about 5'10". Look at China and places like Korea. I mean, what's the average height there? 5 foot, something like that, for the men? That's amazing. But still, it doesn't matter how tall a man is, you know, because men are given a God-given ability that far supersedes height. And if they use it right, of course. Next one is 9/10 of diseases originate in mind. Sicknesses of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. Perhaps some living home trouble is, like a canker, eating to the very soul and weakening the life forces. Remorse for sin sometimes undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. I know before I became a Christian, I had a real, real problem all the time with paranoia and ulcers. And the paranoia was stemming from I kept having this overwhelming feeling that someone was watching me and I wasn't doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I was doing bad things, you know. And then the ulcers. Now think about that. Ulcers are, at least in my case, were generated just because of my thought, you know. So it's amazing how much, like even now, like when some like-minded brethren attack and even loved ones close to me do things that upset me, I actually get sick. And I got to get to a point where I stop letting this stuff bother me so much. I can only do so much and just ignore it, let it roll off the back, you know. But you can actually get, you know, I get the stiff necks, the gut aches, and even sometimes my pressure goes up. And I even have, you know, sometimes labored breathing, it just seems. You know, like you can't catch your breath kind of a thing. And so I just don't want, you know, because I can't let it get to me. And that's just from the mind, from thinking of loved ones that are jumping off cliffs, literally, spiritually, you know, against you. So I can attest to this, that 9/10 of problems, you know, the constitution and the imbalances are from the unbalances of the mind. Going on, she says that there are erroneous doctrines also, as that of the earth eternally burning hell and the endless torment of the wicked, that by giving exaggerated and distorted views of the character of God have produced the same result upon sensitive minds. And again, I can attest to that too, because I've never looked at it that way. I could never understand hell and all that other stuff when I was a Catholic, and even years after that when I was a Sunday-keeping preacher. I still never got the theology because I always thought this was way outside of his character. So I'm gonna mess with it later when I have a little bit more understanding of the word. And then praise the Lord, he did reveal it to me that it was outside of his character. But what I noticed when I was on the street is I actually more than once had people come up to me saying, I don't want nothing to do with your God, a God that'll put people in hellfire and have them scream for all eternity. I mean, that's a masochistic God, sadistic, or like a sadistic God. And I thought, well, you're just falling for the oldest trick in the book. Well, nowadays I would say that, but back then I really had no answer. And let me do one more here. It says, mind affects body. The relation which exists between the mind and body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes the condition of the mind. The condition of the mind affects the health of the physical system. If the mind is free and happy from a conscientious or consciousness of right doing and a sense of satisfaction in causing happiness to others, it creates a cheerfulness that will react upon the whole system, causing a freer, a freer circulation of the blood and atoning of the entire body. And again, this also reminds me of not sinning too. Because I can look back in my old days with that paranoia, knowing that after I became a Christian, I realized what the paranoia was, because when Christ came into my life, it was like a weight that was lifted off of me. And it just, I actually said the words, finally, you know, through all my blubbering tears and stuff. And, but that feeling that you wake up in the morning from all the sins you did the night before or the day before, it's like a weight on you, and it just tears at you and bothers you, and it makes you into a person that's not cheerful. And now it's like, when you do something stupid now, you wake up in the morning, and I don't know why it is, but for some reason with me, the Lord reminds me of things in the morning, like when I got a clear head when I first get up. If I have a feeling of remorse, I go into prayer and I'm thinking, okay, what did I do yesterday that was dumb? And I start thinking, then he reveals something to me. And I praise his name for it, because then it's a lesson learned and I won't do it again, kind of a thing. But it gets to you. Did I fall out or something, or can you hear me? Hold on a second, I'll be right back. Oops, hold on.
Well, since we're on the radio, so there's not dead air, Nick, if you come back, just put your bubble up. I'll continue on. Nick was at... Okay, the blessing of God is a healing power, and those who are abundant in benefiting others will realize that wondrous blessing in both heart and life. And that's CTBH, Christian Temperance and Bible Hygiene, is what that's from 1890. And, oh, bye, Mark, you're leaving. Okay. The next one is a well-nourished and healthy brain. The brain is the organ and instrument of the mind and controls the whole body. In order for the other parts of the system to be healthy, the brain must be healthy. And in order for the brain to be healthy, the blood must be pure. If by correct habits of eating and drinking, the blood is kept pure, the brain will be properly nourished. That's manuscript 24, 1900. Oh, bummer. Okay, the next one is far-reaching influence of the imagination. Disease is sometimes produced and is often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Many are lifelong invalids who might be well if they only thought so. Interesting. Many imagine that every slight exposure will cause illness, and the evil effect is produced because it is expected. Many die from disease, the cause of which is wholly imaginary. That's Ministry of Healing, page 241, 1905. And, Nicholas, are you coming back? Okay. All right. Yes. Well, okay. Pop your bubble up whenever you're ready. Ready.
So do I do the electric power of the brain thing? Is that where you left off or what? Because Fran was here. Okay. But before I do that one, let me clarify something, because that's why Fran came down here. She's upstairs by family. She wanted to have it clarified where Sister White says, where did she? It was in the 9/10 of the diseases originate from the mind. Fran had a question in regards to, good, Lynn made it back in. So Chris might be able to make it back in soon, too. I've noticed this before. Certain sections of the country, if they're having really bad weather, a trunk line can go down, and I've seen up to 20 families leave instantly. Okay, yeah. And Bonnie's in Florida, too. So Chris might be able to make it, too, now. So Lynn and Chris both fell out at the same time. Hey, Bonnie. How you doing, sister? So anyway, Fran had a question, or she didn't have a question more so that she wanted it clarified, where it says, remorse for sin sometimes undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. And Fran was going, it kind of sounds like she's saying, Because the Bible says you should have remorse for sin. You should not be happy to be in sin, of course. But clarifying it would be, like when I was, before I was a Christian, I was a sinner, and I was constantly repeating the sin over and over and over and over and over again. And I had remorse, and I just, it was just like a cancer. All right? But when a Christian finds Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when a person finds Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and becomes a Christian, that remorse, of course, is there. But once you repent and confess it, it's gone. See, that's the problem with the wicked. They have nowhere to vent the guilt. They have nowhere to vent the remorse. You know, that's why they keep looking for, they got holes in their lives, and they're looking for something to fill it with. You know, I know people always say I'm looking for love in all the wrong places, but that's not what they're looking for so much as to get rid of the guilt. Because I remember the day I found Christ, I actually said the words, finally. That was the first words that came out of my mind, out of my mouth, when I realized what was happening. The very first time I ever felt his presence. Because I was just in the Bible a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and I really didn't understand thing one about a lot of stuff. I was just expecting certain things. And then there goes Lynn again and Bonnie. So looks like they're going to start below 60 electric power of the brain. I was told they committed a pardonable sin by a pastor. Talk about guilt. Yeah. See, yeah, and that's Jeff, that's the same situation you see that happens with the Catholic Church. A lot of people they give up on Christianity because of the way the Catholic Church paints the picture of God. They make them look like a tyrant. They make them look like it's absolutely impossible. I mean, look at the NIV, the NIV and the NASB, for a matter of fact, both do this. You know what the one verse where Jesus says, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Remember that verse? Well, in the NIV and the NASB, it says how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of God, period. It doesn't say anything about a rich man. I mean, the topic is about a rich man, but it leaves that off. And so, okay, hold on a second.
Well, I'm going in and out of the kitchen because I'm cooking for next, though.
Okay, all right. Well, you got, all right. Okay. But yeah, so, all right, so where do I, 60.3. 60.3. Okay, electric power of brain vitalizes system. That's the one I start with now. Welcome back, Chris. And Lynn. And Bonnie's still having a hard time getting back in. I guess you guys are having some kind of a technical problem in your area. I don't know whether it's the storms you're dealing with or it could be a trunk line. So, anyway, continuing. It says, disease is sometimes... Oh, I'm sorry. I just jerked up a one. Okay, electric power of brain vitalizes system. The influence of the mind on the body, as well as the body on the mind, should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain, promoted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system and is thus an invaluable aid in resisting disease. This should be made plain. The power of the will and the importance of self-control, both in the preservation and in the recovery of health, the depressing and even ruinous effect of anger, discontent, selfishness, or impurity, and on the other hand, the marvelous life-giving power to be found in cheerfulness, unselfishness, gratitude should also be shown. And this, you know what came to mind when I heard that? That thing about the electrical power of the brain promoted by mental activity, it vitalizes the whole system. Okay, now, when I was a kid, the kind of games I played with were thought-provoking, you know, jumbles, Scrabble, even games like Clue, where you had to figure out who the murderer was. Okay, fine, you know, come on, I was a Catholic, what are you going to do? But the thing is, you know, thought-provoking games. Nowadays, it's all video, all in front of you. It's all TV. It's all music. It's all don't study, you know. When you use the brain, a lot of people don't realize this. For example, like when you do study, even if it's Bible study or mathematical study, there is electrical impulses. You're using that organ, and it's going to react, and it's going to do things, and it's going to help in areas of disease. It's going to help in the way you are, everything. It's going to stop anger, everything. It'll bless you in ways that some people just don't realize. Okay. The One World Order wants to think? Yeah. Yeah, that's why they're coming up with this thought police thing. All right, one more I'll do here. Some sick because they lack willpower. Sister White says, in journeying, I have met many who were really sufferers through their imaginations. They lacked willpower to rise above and combat disease of the body and mind, and therefore they were held in suffering bondage. I frequently turn from the bedside of these self-made invalids, saying to myself, dying by inches, dying by indolence, a disease which no one but themselves can cure. You know, and that's a lot to be said, because I know a lot of people that put themselves on their own deathbeds. You know, even if it's just their diet, their lifestyles alone, the things they do and the things they don't do, they're making themselves invalids. Go ahead there, Brother Chris.
Okay, hopefully we'll get to stay here. There's a lot of lightning, a lot of storms down here, so I know when I got kicked out for a while, I kept trying to come back, and they kept telling me I couldn't get to your website, even though I can get to others. That was beginning to really irritate me. Anyway, here we go. The importance of sound minds in sound bodies. Mental and moral power is dependent upon the physical health. Children should be taught that all pleasures and indulgences are to be sacrificed, which will interfere with health. If the children are taught self-denial and self-control, they will be far happier than if allowed to indulge their desires for pleasure and extravagance in dress. Good health, sound minds, and pure hearts are not made of first importance in households. Many parents do not educate their children for usefulness and duty. They are indulged and petted until self-denial to them becomes an almost impossibility. They are not taught that to make a success of Christian life, the development of sound minds and sound bodies is of the greatest importance. And the second one I'll read here is children who are pressed too hard too early. In the schoolroom, the foundation has been too surely laid for diseases of various kinds, but more especially, the most delicate of all organs, the brain, has often been permanently injured by too great exercise, and the lives of many have been thus sacrificed by ambitious mothers. Of those children who have apparently had sufficient force of constitution to survive this treatment, there are very many who carry the effects of it through life. The nervous energy of the brain becomes so weakened that after they come to maturity, it is impossible for them to endure much mental exercise. The force of some of the delicate organs of the brain seems to be expended, and not only has physical and mental health of children been endangered by being sent to school at too early a period, but they have been the losers in a moral point of view. That kind of reminds me of the old proverb that says, you need to let, I don't know if it's a proverb, but anyway, you need to let the kids be kids. Don't make them grow up too quick.
Yep, very true. The next one is disease sometimes caused by self-centeredness. Many are diseased physically, mentally, and morally because their attention is turned almost exclusively to themselves. They might be saved from stagnation by the healthy vitality of younger and varying minds and the restless energy of children. Very few realize the benefits of the care, responsibility, and experience that children bring to the family. A childless house is a desolate place, which is just fine with me. But anyway, the hearts of the inmates are in danger of becoming selfish, of cherishing a love for their own ease, and consulting their own desires and conveniences. They gather sympathy to themselves, but have little to bestow upon others. That totally describes my life right there. Care and affection for dependent children removes the roughness from our natures, makes us tender and sympathetic, and has an influence to develop the nobler elements of our character. Wow, that really describes me in a nutshell right there. That explains my evil tendencies, I guess. Jeff, you have a granddaughter. Wow. I just assumed he was like a kid or something. All right, the next one, depressing emotions injurious to health. It is the duty of everyone to cultivate cheerfulness instead of brooding over sorrow or troubles. Many not only make themselves wretched in this way, but they sacrifice health and happiness to a morbid imagination. There are things in their surroundings that are not agreeable, and their countenances wear a continual frown that more plainly than words expresses discontent. These depressing emotions are a great injury to them health-wise, for by hindering the process of digestion, they interfere with nutrition. While grief and anxiety cannot remedy a single evil, they can do great harm. But cheerfulness and hope, while they brighten the pathway of others, are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh, which is Proverbs 4, verse 22. Here's Lynn.
Okie dokie. Before I get kicked out, I said, okay, I'll read. let me see. We are in Treating Sick, Study Mind. See also chapter 42 of Mind and Health. In the treatment of the sick, the effect of mental influence should not be overlooked. Rightly used, this influence affords one of the most effective agencies for combating disease. Our next section says, sickness originates in the mind. A great deal of the sickness which affects humanity has its origin in the mind and can only be cured by restoring the mind to health. There are very many more than we imagine who are sick mentally. Isn't that the truth? We see them all the time. Heart sickness makes many dyspeptic, for mental trouble has a paralyzing influence upon the digestive organs. Also very true. And since it's just little ones, I'll read one other little one. Christ heals. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for thee and bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, family said that Nick would be back, and he didn't jump in, so I guess he's not back. I'll go ahead and read the last one. Atmosphere provides health and vigor. Above all things, parents should surround their children with an atmosphere of cheerfulness, courtesy, and love. At home, where love dwells and where it finds expression in looks, in words, and acts, is a place where angels delight to dwell. Parents, let the sunshine of love cheer and happy content enter your own hearts, and let its sweet influence pervade the home. Manifest a kindly, forbearing spirit and encourage the same in your children, cultivating all those graces that will brighten the home life. The atmosphere thus created will be to the children what air and sunshine are to the vegetable world, promoting health and vigor of mind and body. That's the end. I guess we're going to read another one.